This is two similar motions, two separate case numbers though. So one of the case numbers is 14CP2815.
Yes, Your Honor, that's Oppenheimer versus Bernstein.
Right. And then the other case number. It is 14CP3698. And both of the motions raise similar issues, so we're doing them together. So each of you, each of the sides, has half of the time you've allotted, use it as you see fit. I've read the material that has been provided to me, I'm familiar with the issues. So we'll proceed from there.
Good afternoon, Your Honor. May I approach briefly?
Sure.
We have a very short bench memo and a proposed order that they cover the same thing, which is just the very basic legal grounds upon which Your Honor, we're asking Your Honor for relief today.
Can we get a copy of that?
I provided a copy of Mr. and Mrs. Bernstein as soon as they got here. Basically, Your Honor, you determined we're in our case, we have a trust, and you have determined by trial December 15th, the documents are valid. That would be the trust document and the will of Simon Bernstein, which has a power of appointment. On February 1st, you entered an order that Elliot Bernstein individually lacks standing because he's not a beneficiary. Three of his children are beneficiaries, and we have asked for the appointment of a guardian ad litem for two reasons. One, there's a clear conflict of interest between Elliot Bernstein's personal interest and the interest of his minor children. And second, he's an inadequate representative for his children under 731.303, which says if the court determines that a natural guardian would be inadequate, the representation of the minor would be inadequate, that the court may appoint a guardian ad litem to represent those interests. For a variety of reasons, since the beginning of this case, Mr. Elliot Bernstein has been on a crusade to rid the courthouse of corruption, and among every lawyer, every judge, I'll show you the list of people he wants to sue. If allowed.
I've read all the stuff that we're suing.
Okay. And that's basically what we'd like to do at the end of the day.
Your Honor, can I make a brief statement?
When it's your turn, it's not your turn.
Oh, okay.
You've been in court with me before, right?
Okay.
Give everybody an opportunity.
I was just asking.
You know how this works, right?
Kind of.
Okay. Well, yeah, don't do that kind of stuff. Of course you do. You're here as much as I am.
No, I'm not.
So, first I'm going to hear from this side, and then from that side.
Okay.
I'm keeping track of the time, so that's the way I keep it separate, one thing at a time.
Good afternoon, Your Honor. Yes. Stephen Leslie with Gunster Yerkley on behalf of Oppenheimer Trust Company of Delaware. I provided you a binder containing the motions to be heard. I understand you've read them all. I just gave a copy to Mr. Bernstein, although he was served simultaneously with these motions a while ago. Insofar as the Oppenheimer case has never been before Your Honor, I wanted to just briefly summarize what this case is about, because there are some distinctions between our case and what I'll refer to as the main case, the estates and trusts of Simon and Shirley. The Oppenheimer case involves three discrete small trusts created for the benefit of Joshua, Jake, and Daniel Bernstein. Those are three of Simon Bernstein's grandchildren, and those are the children of Elliot and Candace Bernstein. Oppenheimer was appointed successor trustee by Judge Holland in 2010 after Stanford Trust Company went into receivership. Each trust had around $80,000 in liquid assets at the time Oppenheimer received the assets from the receiver. All but a few thousand of those dollars were distributed during Oppenheimer's tenure, four-year tenure, for the beneficiaries' health, education, support, and maintenance. The three trusts that we're talking about now have a combined liquid assets of around $6,500, a little over $2,000 in each of these trusts. There were originally 10 grandchildren's trusts created by Simon Bernstein, All of the other seven trusts that have terminated by their consent of the beneficiaries or their parents or by their natural terms. Oppenheimer resigned in 2014 because there was no money left and we were having difficulty dealing with beneficiaries' parents. And because Elliot and Candace declined to appoint a successor, we filed suit to have a successor appointed with a trust terminated and to have our final accounts approved. Importantly, neither Elliot nor Candace Bernstein were sued in their individual capacities because they're not named anywhere in the trust as beneficiaries or otherwise. They never moved for or granted intervention in their individual capacities. And so unlike in the main case, the Bernsteins never had individual standing. They still don't. 2 years after this simple lawsuit was filed and after Judge Colin entered a summary judgment indicating that Oppenheimer had in fact validly resigned in 2014, due to the Bernsteins' litigious nature, conspiracy theories, and their personal claims to their children's funds, arguing that these trusts are invalid, no successor has been appointed. The trusts have not been terminated. After two evidentiary hearings before Judge Colin, we've only got through 27 of the Bernsteins' 90 objections to Oppenheimer's accountings. They objected to every single item in the accountings.
Let me ask you this. Who were they as objectors? How were they involved in being parties or people who would make objections?
Good question. We sued them as the parents and natural guardians of the minor beneficiaries.
Okay.
So in that capacity, they filed objections. The Bernsteins today remain defiantly in violation of Judge Colin's May 4th, 2015 order, which required them to file a certain notice with the court. That required compliance over 9 months ago. Despite repeated notices, they failed to comply with that. And Oppenheimer, my client, that has absolutely no trust assets to look to, has spent well into the six figures in this litigation for no reason other than those in Mr. Bernstein's imagination. So like Mr. Rose, we are seeking the appointment of a guardian ad litem for multiple reasons. Number one, the Bernsteins have multiple conflicts of interest. They claim that the trusts are invalid or unauthentic, and that the trusts were really set up for them, or that the money should otherwise flow to them, which is direct contravention to their kids' rights. They announce in their filings, including their counterclaim, that their overarching goal is to bring down the judicial system and its officers, and no reasonable person can conclude that the minors share this goal or that pursuing this goal is in their best interest. So that's the second conflict. And number three, they routinely defame, disparage judges and the judicial system with personal attacks. We're not talking about criticizing a particular action. We're talking about calling names, accusing them of fraud, et cetera. And that prejudices the minor's ability to have whatever substantive points they may have heard. The second reason we believe that a guardian ad litem has to be appointed is because they're simply unfit to act as anyone's litigation representative. They have been adjudicated as vexatious litigants by the United States District Court for the Southern District of New York. And they routinely and publicly accuse judges, lawmakers, and lawyers of fraud and other serious misconduct. And they're lawless and obstructionists. They refuse to accept that any adverse ruling is based on the merits or that any judge has jurisdiction or authority over them. In recent filings, they declare that Your Honor has no jurisdiction to preside over this matter. They filed multiple appeals and Supreme Court petitions, all alleging that the courts have no jurisdiction over them and the judges have committed fraud. And all these appeals have been rejected and they have failed to comply with court orders while the appeals are pending. So as of now, they're in willful contempt of an order, which I will show you once we're in the evidence stage. They unilaterally decided that the order is invalid. So the sole issue before you today is the Bernsteins' fitness to serve as children's litigation representatives. I've asked in my motion for Your Honor to take judicial notice of all the various proceedings that are referenced in there. I have a list of them if you'd like me to set that forth.
No problem.
Okay. So all the details and evidence are set forth either in the public records, pleadings that are subject to judicial notice, and I urge you to review them carefully at the end of the day at the point of guardian ad litem for the minor beneficiaries.
Who is the guardian ad litem that you seek to have appointed?
Well, because we're in a delicate situation because everything we do results in allegation of conspiracy that we are guiding, or that Judge Kagan somehow guided this case to you, which was the most recent allegation. We are hesitant to be the ones to nominate any particular guardian ad litem. What we would ask is, we know that Your Honor has very smart, very talented, very intellectual, honest lawyers appearing before you every day. We would ask Your Honor to pick somebody that you think is appropriate. If Your Honor would prefer, we could collectively come up with a group of names and pass that along to you to choose from. But you know, every time we do anything, we're getting accused of fraud and conspiracy and being named in lawsuits, so it's a difficult situation for us.
Okay. And from the Bernstein side of the presentation, who is it that you're suggesting is guardian ad litem?
I think the answer to the question is, we think you should use the, we'll never agree, or we'll try, and my order proposes that we have so many days to try to agree with the Bernsteins on the guardian, failing which I think you would use the wheel. More importantly, and it's in our motion and the proposed order, it's very critical that you protect the guardian before we appoint them from the bombardment, harassment, the internet defaming, and the constant, and I realize Your Honor, may be immune to it, but business people and lawyers are not, because the internet is everything on the internet is available and people search it. And so we need some protection against this guardian being harassed, bombarded, accused of being part of the cabal, because it's somebody we're going to randomly pick from a wheel, and who should
now use that person to be on the wheel, right?
I wouldn't wish this necessarily on a particular person, because it's a very thankless job that we're asking them to do, but it needs to be done. And if it doesn't get done, we're just going to burn probably every other penny that's in these trusts dealing with Mr. Bernstein's, years-long crusade.
All right, thanks. And now, Mr. Bernstein, do you have anything in the opening statement that you'd like to make?
Yeah. Your Honor, do you have his copies? I'd like to, there's law of the case on this already. They've heard these same exact pleadings by Judge Colin, and I'd like you to read, first I'll start with theirs, of the state one. The order reads, this is an order on the 20th of August 2014 by Judge Colin, in response to a very similar pleading where they tried to get guardians. It says the court waives any appointment for the appointment of a guardian ad litem and further finds that in respect for the agreement and this order, the agreement is in the best interest of the minor children and that Elliot and Candace Bernstein adequately represent the interests of their minor children. That was entered on August 20th, 2014. Now, in the same case, that this has been heard.
Just so that we keep it straight, which of the cases
I am giving you case number.
Yeah, that'll help me.
Did you want the whole thing or just the 653?
No, just the four digits that
0653. Okay.
So
there's three zeros in 653. That's the estate of Shirley Bernstein.
Okay, we're not working on those cases.
Okay.
Working on
and then I have one from this case.
Okay, that's what I'd like to suppose.
Okay, I just was showing you we've had this hearing so many times trying to get contempt and all this nonsense on me.
I didn't attend those.
No, I know, but they're in the record.
Just trying to stick with the cases that are coming today.
Right, okay, and this one says Elliot and Candace Bernstein individually, Elliot Bernstein and Candace Bernstein as guardians and natural parents of Daniel, Jacob, and Josh, and any other beneficiary of the Shirley Bernstein Trust, are enjoined and precluded from filing or pursuing any action against the trustee in connection with the trust. What's that? Bert, you want me to read?
I like that
word. What is that?
When was that one?
Right here.
Hold on.
Mr. Bernstein, when was that one?
Hold on.
Like one I should read.
Hold on, sure. Oh, that's a different order. I'm sorry, Your Honor.
I'm sorry.
I read you the wrong part. I'm going to give you
the.
Okay.
Just a second.
Yeah.
See, I take notes.
I got it. The 20th day of August, 2014, I think. Is that the same day I just gave them?
That was in regards to
right.
The distribution.
And where is it?
Right here.
Oh, okay. And that says, in addition.
You guys know which cases?
Oh, this is this one.
There are two cases before me today.
Oh, 3698.
All right. Thanks.
You're welcome. And in the bottom, in the number six, it says, In addition, to the extent that it would be necessary, the court waives any requirement for the appointment of a guardian ad litem and further finds that, in respect to the agreement and this order, the agreement is in the best interest of the minor children, and Elliot and Candace Bernstein adequately represent the interests of their minor children. So this has all been heard. I've been put off.
What agreement is referred to in the next?
Oh, this is different. Okay, this is an agreement that was supposed to be for them to pay the school of my children, and they were ordered to pay the school.
When you say they, who are you talking about?
The Alan Rose and my brother Ted Bernstein were ordered by the court to pay St. Andrew's School, and they failed to do so, causing my children to be evicted despite the court order. But
what did the agreement say? I want to know what the agreement was that was being approved.
Well, the agreement, what the judge said was, Alan Rose came without an agreement. He had multiple pieces of paper, and the judge didn't want that. So what he said is, go back to your office and put together an agreement and sign it. And if you don't get it signed, I still want the school paid, and the record will stand. So that's exactly what he said.
Okay. All right.
So then he had also said that the only amount that I would be releasing them from liability for was the amount of the school payment.
Okay, well, I don't need to know the intricate details. I just want to know.
Okay, but at that hearing, and at that hearing, they tried this guardian ad litem. If you look at the record, they've tried it, God knows, 15, 20 times as retaliation for me exposing frauds in the court, which are real, not imaginary. These are officers of the court and trustees who committed frauds. In fact, in the December 15th hearing before you, we brought some evidence, and I've submitted it to you already, of new frauds on the court that were admitted to under the witnesses Robert Spallina's testimony, where he stated he deposited fraudulent documents in the court in efforts to close the estate of my deceased mother with my deceased father as the personal representative.
Can I stop you a moment?
Yes, sir.
You're off point.
Well, the reason they're seeking this guardianship is to retaliate and silence me from exposing these frauds.
You're off point. If you would like to give me an opening statement that pertains to the issues I've got to figure out today, I welcome them.
Okay.
Well,
my kids need a guardian here to ask these questions, to expose
who is the guardian that you propose?
To expose the fraud. I'm not proposing any guardian. I'm proposing that you already look at the case law that they brought these same similar omnibus motion is almost identical. And here's the omnibus order in Oppenheimer's case. Yeah, no.
Okay, and then your position is that you would continue to represent the children's interests in the case?
Correct, and one of my kids is 18, by the way.
Anything else on your opening statement?
Okay, yeah, I have another order in the Oppenheimer case on their omnibus order.
Well, you have a copy of this order?
You got it? Where is it? Oh, okay, and this is very interesting, Your Honor. This omnibus order, it's entered in the case 2815.
Okay.
And I'd like to submit these in a minute to the court. The omnibus order here was after Oppenheimer did the whole scorched earth blogging, take down everything, attacking judges, brought Judge Colin's face on the page of blogs. By the way, I haven't blogged any of these blogs they're saying. They're not mine. But after hearing that whole omnibus order that they're asking to hear again today with another, God knows how much, an attorney's fees being billed to the estate, that Judge Colin said, having considered the motions, heard argument from Oppenheimer's counsel and from Elliot and Candace, and being advised otherwise, it is hereby adjudged as follows. In number 3 states, the court withholds ruling on Oppenheimer's motion to appoint guardian ad litem for minor beneficiaries, but may reconsider Oppenheimer's motion after the Bernsteins file their objections to the final accounting or at a later date. Now, what was also said at that hearing, by the way, Your Honor, was that Oppenheimer, which just admitted they don't have standing here to bring this. He's a resigned trustee, Your Honor. He has no legal standing. Judge Colin said to him, look, I'll let you do an accounting, because you got to have some accounting here before you walk out the door. And that's it, and I'm not going to hear anything else from you, because you have...
reservation of ruling on the motion.
Did what?
He reserved to rule on this motion at
well,
that time.
What he technically said, what he technically said was that if the next person after Oppenheimer, since they're gone and can't move the court, wants to bring up Oppenheimer's motion for a guardian, I'll hear it then. But Mr. Lesney, you're done.
Is your interpretation of this sentence that Oppenheimer would not be the entity to bring forth their motion, that there had to be some other entity after Oppenheimer to bring the motion up?
Correct.
Okay, well, I disagree with your reading of that.
Anything else? Okay, yeah, I'd like to ask, they don't have standing here to move the court because they're a resigned trustee.
Okay.
So really, them bringing all these issues, guardians under the trust. Now, there's one more piece I'd like to bring. This is a very interesting point. This is an order on petition for designation and discharge. And it was in case number 4391, the estate of Simon Bernstein, but it has massive relevance in both these cases. And the reason for that is, Your Honor, on this resignation here, and this happens on the two gentlemen, Spallina and Tesher, who you now understand are under consent orders with the SEC for insider trading, where Mr. Spallina pled guilty to criminal misconduct.
You're going to tell me something about another case.
No, it's this case too.
No, you read off a different case number.
No, I know, but it affects this case.
I don't want you to think I'm not paying attention if my eyes are here. The reason my eyes were here is because this records are.
Yes.
So sometimes while you're talking, I'm going to be looking to my side. I'm not ignoring. I'm listening closely.
This.
You gave me a different case number.
Oh.
And you said it would be relevant. You haven't said anything to establish relevance yet. What's the relevance of?
Okay. The relevance is that the court is ordering, upon their leaving, Tesher and Spallina, after admitting fraud, in the documents, the dispositive documents, that they were ordered to turn over all records to this court, to the curator, all being original records. These trusts that they're talking about, all of those records we have now found are not turned over. The estate representative has never received original trusts from this.
I'm going to stop you there. You're using up a lot of your time on something that has to be.
Well, there's also another issue. Mr. Rose.
Let me just caution you. When your time is up,
Okay. I know you're going to rule against me anyways, because I get the prejudice here. But Mr. Lesney was sent a letter by Mr. Rose saying that he found new trust documents for the children that are the basis of this case. They have not submitted those to the court as of this date, which will change the whole hearing. Because supposedly it's originals that Mr. Rose, who had no writ of possession to take property from the estate, went into the estate to do something with a chandelier and took the estate property from the estate, claims that they're new trust documents that are signed or something. They could be totally different than the documents that they submitted before this court, and they are. They even admit it. But they haven't given them to anybody. They're not here for inspection. In fact, this court order asks that all original documents be turned over to the court. There's only one document, according to Mr. Brown and Mr. O'Connell, that was original. In all of this, we have no original trusts, we have no original wills, we have nothing. We did a validity hearing on copies of documents with one man testifying who, in your court, and I want you to take judicial notice of this, he said he did not plead guilty to a felony or a misdemeanor, yet I have his consent order here that says he did. And that violation should cause Your Honor to notify the SEC that a fraud occurred in your court. I submitted that in my filings. I believe you have those records, and I believe under your judicial canons, when you hear officers of the court under testimony commit basic perjury and you have the evidence, by the way, he also said he was eligible to practice law. The Florida bar, I brought their thing, it says he's not. So there were several lies, several more frauds. He admitted that he added new documents to the court record and that he had never told the court or the authorities of that. And thereby it became your obligation to also report that. But this whole case comes down to me trying to get documents, originals. All we're trying to do is get the truth for our kids and everything. Why, if there's nothing to hide, are there no accountings, no original documents, and an effort to turn this against me and my wife, when all we've done is expose fraud? Once we exposed fraud the other day to the court, and you now have knowledge of it, you should have asked. You should have called Mr. Spleen up and say, what did you say? You're under a consent for nothing? What did you plead to? Well, his consent order says he pled guilty to criminal misconduct, and he lied to you. And that shifts this whole thing. So I'm asking, Your Honor, take judicial notice, contact all the proper authorities, state and federal. He also said he mailed documents to my attorney that were fraudulent, and he still hasn't told any authorities. And that's in the record on December 15th. That's mail fraud, Your Honor. That's a federal offense. I'm asking you to take judicial notice and contact the FBI on it as well, or the state bars as well, if you haven't already. There is some law about misprison of a felony I think we all need to be aware of. Mr. Rose knows this. He knows this. The guy he put up on the stand came up and told a bunch of lies. He hasn't corrected the record. They're pulling another Ponzi fraud on you. And look, people have been arrested in this case. They forged my dead father's signature. I'm just coming here to collect an inheritance, trying to get the truth. The reason I'm here is because when I asked for the dispositive documents, they refused to give them to me for months. I had to get a lawyer, and they abused her, told her they didn't even know the cases. All that's in the record already. We've had these hearings to try to corral me and pull down web blogs of Crystal Cox. I got a federal court order here where me and her are in a RICO in Nevada together.
Can I stop you, sir?
Yes, sir.
Do you want to use your time this way?
You know, I thought this is very important that the fact that we don't have documents. Well, let me ask you, Your Honor, how are we moving forward if there's new documents that need to be submitted so I can.
Counsel, you can have a seat. I'm going to let him just keep going as long as he likes.
Okay, I'm going to be done because we're being rushed as usual, and okay. Very serious issues.
This is from
Sir Ellie Bernstein.
All right, sir, you testify from your seat. Please raise your right hand. You swear to tell the truth, so help you God.
Always. Yes,
can
sir.
Stay here or come to the.
Sure, you can just stay there if you want.
Is there a court reporter here today?
Do you see one?
No, so no party?
Not one here.
Okay.
Do you recall we had a trial in mid-December, sir?
On what?
On the validity of the trust documents of your mother and your father.
I do.
And during that trial, you were advocating that the documents were invalid and that you would be the beneficiary of your parents' estate.
Correct.
And I, on behalf of Ted Bernstein, his trustee, prevailed in convincing the court that the documents were in fact valid, and therefore your children are the beneficiaries of the Shirley Bernstein Trust, correct?
Well, the documents weren't there to inspect. I asked for the originals, but now we found out that nobody has them. The people who they were ordered to be turned over to admitted they don't have them in that hearing. So you brought in a bunch of copied documents where there's already been fraud in the court, on the court, with depositive documents admitted to by your witness, who was supposed to be validating the thing while he's a felon who lied about his felony count, and validated documents that in the same hearing he admitted he committed fraud on and sent him to an attorney as part of a complex fraud in the mail as well, mail fraud. There were copies of documents. I objected. I wanted to see the original. I thought the judge obviously would. I don't know how we're moving the court when nobody knows where the originals are.
And so your children come out ahead by virtue of what we had, and you have challenged that final judgment by appealing it to the 4th District Court of Appeals. Is that correct?
That is correct.
And you filed a petition for writ of prohibition, writ of mandamus, a petition for all writs designed to undo the final judgment that the court entered that's in favor of your children being beneficiaries, correct?
Correct.
And you believe that the Florida judicial system has failed you twice to protect your property's life and liberty and has played a significant role in alleged criminal acts against you, correct?
I believe certain actors within the court, not all, there's great judges, like a lot of them, are helping me.
So would you agree that what Ted Bernstein as trustee and I as his counsel did in December benefited your children and made them beneficiaries of a trust?
Well, I don't think you're valid trustees, and you know we have hearings on that, and that the other people are making those claims. Mr. O'Connell, the PR of the estate, has put in a filing in opposition to your trust case here, stating that Ted Bernstein...
You're allowed to waste your time, but you're not allowed to waste their time. So you must answer the question that's asked. Would you repeat your question, please? I think the witness has gotten off on him.
You wouldn't agree that what Ted Bernstein, his trustee, did and what I did benefits your children by making them the beneficiaries of the Shirley Bernstein Trust?
No, and I believe Ted Bernstein is a valid serving trustee.
Okay.
Okay. And you still think, and you still think I'm a criminal and I should go to jail?
I believe after fair and impartial due process under law, you will, yes.
Okay. Now, you filed a petition in Illinois just yesterday that's 132 pages.
Can we submit that into evidence?
Asking the court in Illinois to cease these proceedings and take jurisdiction over everything because you don't think you can get a fair trial in Florida. Is that
can you
correct?
Submit that into evidence, please? Your Honor, I'd like to submit that.
Did you file that? That's the question.
I got to see it, so I was hoping you could put it in.
You don't know if you filed. Next question, please.
Okay.
You're not allowed to ask the questioner questions. That defeats the question and answer.
Oh, okay, I get it.
May I approach?
Sure.
Is this a copy of the 132-page petition you filed yesterday in Illinois?
Well, it looks good. It looks like it.
Okay. Now, do you believe that you're in an emergency situation where your life and the life of your wife and children are in imminent danger?
We do believe that.
And you'd like to use the monies of your children to pursue your crusade against the Florida judicial system?
Well, it hasn't been determined. There's been no construction hearing. I'm a named beneficiary in Shirley's trust. I don't know how you're going to defeat that.
Good question?
Yeah.
The question was, do you believe you should use your children's money to pursue a campaign?
Of course not.
Next question. This is why I want to talk this.
Okay.
Answer.
I'm a little emotional. My wife's been terrorized by this stuff.
I can tell. I'm emotional myself, but I control it when I'm in court.
Okay. I'm trying.
What we do.
May I move that exhibit one, the petition?
132 page. What purpose will we have in the whole 132
okay.
pages in the record?
I would like to move it as an excerpt that's about 8 pages.
Well, we can
approach.
Sir, any objection to this excerpt that's been offered up as exhibit A?
No, it's an exhibit. Perfect. Right. Yeah.
Be evidence as movement one or M one.
Okay. Sir, is this a list of the people that you are asking permission to sue?
Yes, it is.
Okay, and it includes as number one Judge LaBarga, the Chief Justice of the Florida Supreme Court.
It absolutely does.
Judges Colin, French, and Coates.
And Phillips.
And Your Honor, Judge Phillips, correct?
Yes, and Your Honor, I think you should take notice that I am seeking leave to amend the counter-complaint to add you as a defendant, because I think that you're operating outside.
Can I ask you to stop a second?
Okay.
I'm being as polite as I can.
Okay.
You're not allowed to just chime in.
Oh, okay.
This is a person who's asking you questions. You're a witness. Your job is to listen for questions and answer. Next question, please.
And numbers 11 through 15, you want to sue the state of Florida, the Florida Supreme Court, the Fourth District Court of Appeals, the Palm Beach County Probate and Circuit Courts, and the County of Palm Beach.
Correct.
And you have a whole bunch of lawyers and law firms listed, but if you turn to 145 on page 130 of 132, you want to sue the trusts that are created for your three children under your father's will.
Well, I'm being sued under those, and you've sued me as trustee of those trusts, but I've never had a copy. They weren't turned over by Spalina and Tesher when they were ordered to turn over all the records.
Remember the question?
Yeah, but...
Is 145
yes,
to sue the trust?
Yeah, because we don't have the trust.
Well, you just have to say yes or no.
Oh, okay.
You said yes.
Okay.
Next question.
And at 141 through 143, you want to sue the three trusts that would be created under the Simon Bernstein Trust.
Would be created or were created?
You want to sue the three trusts that are created for your children, yes?
I don't even know if they exist, but yes, because we think they exist, yes.
And on the next page, under 157 through 161, you want to use your children's money to have your children sue their five first cousins, Alexander, Michael, Eric, Molly, and Max.
We're trying to get the documents from them too, so yes, I have to. We're trying to get to the truth in the documents.
Now, you recall opposing the attempted sale of a house that was owned by the trust last March?
I opposed a sale that we weren't aware of, and I did oppose it, and Judge Colin ruled that you had tried to sneak the house through without notifying anybody.
Judge Colin gave you 5 weeks to find a realtor and appraiser to support your position, and you produced no witnesses at that hearing, correct?
Correct.
And the judge entered a final order approving a sale, correct?
I believe so.
And you filed a petition for all writs to the Florida Supreme Court that delayed the closing of that sale until January 15th of this year, correct?
No.
And you've seen evidence in what we filed that your delay in interest, taxes, insurance, club dues cost $231,000 in harm to the trust of which your three children are beneficiaries. Have you seen that filing?
I've seen that filing, but the judge already ruled.
If it's true that your actions cost the trust $230,000, do you regret challenging the sale of a house at fair market value when there was an appraisal in evidence and a realtor who testified as to the fair market value of the sale?
The sale was delayed because of your actions, and that's already been determined.
Do you regret challenging the sale?
What?
The question is, do you regret challenging the sale?
Not at all.
Next question.
And would you do it again even if it cost your children, who are now been determined to be beneficiaries of this trust, even more money?
They haven't been determined to be beneficiaries of the trust. We've had no construction hearings yet.
Weren't you at the trial on December 15th, and didn't you read the court's December 16th final judgment that declared that the documents are valid?
Well, Shirley's trust that you're saying is valid has me as a beneficiary, not my children.
Can you follow the question?
Yes.
Were you at the trial in December? That was the question.
Was I at a trial in December?
Were you at the trust?
One more time. I must have.
The question is, were you at the trial in December?
Yep.
That was the question.
I was at the trial.
Next question. Now, you mentioned to the court that there was a hearing where the trustee wanted to make payments to your children's school, and the judge approved that. Do you recall that?
Yes.
And you were required to sign an agreement that the monies that were paid by the trust to your children's school would count against your children's inheritances, and you refused to sign that agreement. Isn't that true?
No, that's not true at all.
You signed the agreement?
Nope, you didn't draft the agreement as was required by the court. I was going to let the record stand like the judge said.
The court can check the record. You agree there was no motion pending to appoint a guardian ad litem. And what the judge did in that hearing was agreed because there was a time emergency because your children were starting school, that he would deem for the purposes of that one issue, you and your wife were adequate guardians for your children, correct?
Yeah.
Okay, and then the payments were never made because you didn't sign any agreement that the money would count against your children's inheritance.
No.
And isn't it a fact that you wanted that money to count against all the beneficiaries and come off the top of the trust rather than being counted against your children's inheritance?
That's all false.
And you believe your parents, how much money do you believe your parents had in their trust and estates when they died?
Well, since there's no accountings produced for 5 years in my mother's estate and trust.
It was a bad question. How much money?
I'd like to answer the question.
The question's been withdrawn.
How much money do you think should have been in your parents' trust and estates when they died?
Well, I would say about somewhere between 50 and 100 million plus stock that was worth possibly billions of dollars or more, where all the records are missing.
Right. So you believe it's possible these estates should have upwards of 100 million or up to $1 billion in them?
Well, the fact that we don't know shows the travesty of what's going on here. Meaning it shouldn't be what is your thought of what the values are. It should be, these are the accountings here, it speaks for itself.
And you're going to object to whatever accounting that is filed by Ted Bernstein as trustee, right?
Well, so far we filed an accounting that started 3 years after my dad died with no prior records from the prior trustee.
Do you remember the question?
What was the question?
The question was, are you going to object to any accounting that's filed?
I'd have to see it.
Next question.
And you're going to use the funds and the court system and the funds in your children's trust or the funds in the entire trust to search for the other 50 to 100 million or billion dollars that's missing, right?
I think anybody would, but yeah.
I have no further questions.
Your side has 6 minutes.
Okay, good afternoon, Mr. Bernstein.
Can you say who you're representing right now?
I represent Oppenheimer Trust Company of Delaware.
And are they resigned?
Sir, you're the witness.
I'm just trying to get straight who's asking me questions.
He's an attorney in these proceedings that I asked him to be answering questions.
Okay.
Your Honor?
Yes, all proof is okay.
Mr. Bernstein, I'm showing you a copy of an order. It's called an order from April 20, 2005, continued hearing
If you look at the last page, it's actually dated May 4th, 2015, I believe. Yeah, May 4th, 2015. With regard to paragraph 9, and Your Honor has a copy, it states, with regard to, this had to do with the accounting objections. Do you recall?
I do.
We had 2 days of evidentiary hearings and the accounting objections?
I do.
Okay. And you filed about 90 objections to the final accounting?
Correct.
Okay. Paragraph 9 of this order states that with regard to objections 12, 13, 23, 26, and 28 through 90, in light of respondents, that's you, claim that they have insufficient time to review the backup documents produced by the petitioner, respondents shall file a notice with the court on or before June 1, 2015, indicating which of these objections they are abandoning in light of petitioner's production of documents. For each objection that respondents do not abandon, respondents shall give a one-sentence reason why they are not abandoning the objection. Did you comply with paragraph 9 of the order?
I couldn't. The judge who I was supposed to submit it to was off the case. He said that everything had to be sent to him first for approval to file, and he's gone. I still don't know what I'm supposed to do, but, you know.
Where in paragraph 9 does it say that?
Well, you know the order of Judge Colin.
Judge Colin says that you shall file a notice with the court by July 1, 2015, indicating which objections you are abandoning.
Okay, didn't Judge Colin issue an order that you're aware of that says we had to file everything with his office for approval first?
I don't know what you're talking about. So the answer
You're denying that you know that order? Okay.
Let me stop you a second. You're confusing questions.
Okay, I'll get to him in a minute. Okay.
Did you file the notice that's referenced in paragraph 9 of the order?
I have not yet.
Okay. Why?
Because I can't submit it to Judge Colin, and this order is for Judge Colin.
Do you acknowledge the authority of Judge Colin and now Judge Phillips to enter orders in these cases?
No, I think it's all void. I think there's been fraud on the court that still hasn't been dealt with. The officers haven't been arrested for committing fraud, forgeries, admitting just the other day fraud. Okay.
These are yes or no questions for the most part.
Okay, yeah.
We only have limited time. Do you acknowledge that the orders entered by Judge Phillips and Judge Colton are valid unless and until overturned by appeal?
I don't give them any force and effect. I've been complying with them, but again, under fraud on the court, I think it all gets invalidated at some point.
So you don't believe you're under any legal obligation to comply with orders entered by Judge
Colton? I'm complying with the orders. The order was to turn this to Judge Colton. He isn't here.
Remember the question?
Yes.
Do you believe
that? Well, how would you answer that?
I believe I have to comply with the orders.
Thank you. Next question.
Okay. Your Honor, if we could have that order admitted as Oppenheimer 1, or if you want to go to sequential order, is it 2?
Mr. Bernstein, next.
No, that's fine. Thank you.
Next, okay. I'm handling you. Your.
This is a document response in opposition to omnibus motion. This is a document you filed on January 13, 2016. If you can turn to paragraph 15 of that response.
Paragraph 15 or page 15? Counsel, is it paragraph 15 or page 15?
Paragraph 51, excuse me.
All right, thank you.
A little dyslexic today, I apologize.
Oh, 15 was a good one.
Paragraph 51 reads,
Hold on, I'm not there.
Okay, take your time. It says, I, Elliot Bernstein, further renews and reminds this court that it lacks jurisdiction to hear the matter as this court was mandatorily disqualified at least as of December 4, 2015, and was further moved to mandatorily disqualify December 8, 2008, 2015, and thus no further action may be taken at this time beyond mandatory disqualification. Do you believe that this court lacks jurisdiction to hear the matter?
I believe that it does.
Thank you. And Your Honor, would like to have this put in as Exhibit 3?
Any objection?
No.
All right, this would be 03.
Isn't this filed, or did you reject this, Your Honor? You've been rejecting all my filings, no matter what standing I have. So I'm wondering, did this make it in the record?
Remember your status right now, you're a witness.
Oh, okay, still? Okay.
Next, Mr. Bernstein, I'd like to show you a document that you filed in the 4th District Court of Appeals.
Counsel, you want to go after a minute?
This is dated January 29, 2016. I'd like to put that into evidence. I'm not sure I'm going to have a chance to go through it in detail, but I will.
Any objection?
No.
I will try my best.
Evidence is 04.
Okay. Turning to paragraph 3. You say, in part, the orders of Judge Phillips, who should have mandatorily disqualified, are a nullity and void. There are no valid and proper orders under which the parties are acting. Do you believe that statement as of today?
Absolutely.
Paragraph 25. You state, Judge Phillips, prejudging bias, prejudice, and knowing the statement of law and procedure in Florida, went further, saying, if somebody made a mistake and you all think there's relief that should be granted to correct his mistake, that's what the 4th is for. Please have a seat. What do you believe was his knowing misstatement of the law there?
Well, I believe that the judge understands that the case was improperly transferred to him. That Judge Colon steered the case, that he has prejudice. He said he loves Judge Colon, who's been all over the front page of the news lately for a lot of misconduct, it looks. And it says that if I thought there was a mistake, it's what the 4th was for, but at the same time, that mistake was on review by a higher court, the Supreme Court. So Judge Phillips did make a mistake, because we had questioned the transfer to the Supreme Court of Florida, and they still hadn't decided at that moment, and therefore he was making a mistake by saying go to the 4th for appeal of that issue. We had already appealed it to a higher court where it was still sitting.
Thank you, Counselor.
You're welcome.
More than elapsed, we're ready to hear from the other side and see if there's any further evidence.
Okay. May I just introduce you as my documentary evidence, or I'm out?
Thank you. Any evidence from the
for me?
Right?
Yeah. Okay. I'd like to submit to the court, am I getting to ask some questions now? Can I call witnesses?
I said that you're allowed to call any evidence from your side if you'd like.
So I can call witnesses.
Evidence to present.
I'm submitting a letter from Mr. Rose to Mr. Lesney and myself, and I'd like to call Mr. Rose as a witness.
What? Please raise your right hand, be sworn. You better talk from your seat.
I do. I object to being called as a witness to some degree, but if it's over a letter that shouldn't be in controversy, it would probably not violate the rule to testify.
Okay.
Okay, Mr. Rose, on May 20th, 2015, and I also have a full deposition after this I'm into, but did you send the letter? Did you get a copy?
Yeah, I see the letter. Yes.
Okay, can I have the letter back?
Sure.
Okay, thank you. And in this letter, you state that you were at Simon Bernstein's home, correct?
The letter speaks for itself, but attached
just
to
it. Yes or no? Does it say you were at Simon Bernstein's home?
You just have to answer the question.
It's not a letter, it's an email, and it had attachments, which were all the documents. But yes, it states I was at Simon Bernstein's home.
Okay, and when you were at his home, did you have a writ of possession to take any estate property off the property that's in the custody of Brian O'Connell?
I do not have a writ of possession.
Okay. And so you came across what you're claiming are suddenly discovered new documents, both in your case, dispositive documents, and Mr. Lesney's case, correct?
Well, what the letter says is I found some documents that, and since we were about to vacate the property, I secured them and notified everybody, sent everybody copies of them on disks, and have the originals.
So you did remove the properties off the premises?
I did.
Did you contact the PR of the estate at that time?
Can I see the letter?
Before you removed them, did you get
No, the letter explains that because they were moving the next day, I took the items and then immediately upon returning to my office notified the PR, Brian O'Connell, who's shown as a copy on this letter, his associate or partner, Joy Foglietta, as well as yourself, Mr. Okay. Lesney, and my client, including copies of documents that were located in Simon's office.
You removed personal property off the estate that related to new trust documents suddenly discovered in both cases that are dispositive documents where originals are missing. Do you have the original dispositive documents in this case, Mr. Rose?
Half dozen questions.
Oh, there.
One,
sorry.
You gotta ask one question.
I'm not good at it.
Remember the way they were asking you a question one
or okay.
You gotta do the same thing.
These new documents you found, are they new trust documents for the Oppenheimer case?
Nothing I found was a new
yes
document.
Yes or no?
Nothing I found was a new document. It was all documents that previously existed that I had seen copies of, and what we discovered was an extra set of originals.
Is that right? Stick with answering the question.
Yeah.
Okay. And did you give those? You gave those to Mr. Lesney. Has he given them to the court yet? To the best of your knowledge?
Objection. Assumes facts, not evidence.
Sustained.
Okay. So when you took the documents off the premise, you became part of the chain of custody, correct? At that point, of those documents.
I don't know what that means in a civil context. I have the documents. I've made them available.
Well, they're trust documents. So there's a chain of custody. These are originals. You're claiming they're duplicate originals when we're missing originals. In fact, signatures, new signatures appear on operating documents. Your Honor, if you...
Can I stop this?
Yes.
This is your opportunity to ask questions of a witness that you've called.
Okay.
We proceed in the question and answer format.
I got you. Yeah. Were there signatures on the Oppenheimer documents?
Yes, and I sent copies of those signature pages to you by that email, and you received it.
Were you in a hearing at Oppenheimer whereby it was brought up that the documents that the case was filed under were missing signatures on Daniel Bernstein's trust?
I was at a hearing in which there was a suggestion that one of the three trusts was unsigned. So when I noticed these documents in Simon Bernstein's office, I thought these might be important. I should take them and notify all the parties, which I did immediately.
Take them as stealing them. This was estate property. So at that point, you had no authority to remove evidence from the estate, and you did, without authority, without a writ of possession. That's called theft.
That's not an objection.
Oh, I can't. Okay.
You can't argue with somebody.
Okay, I hear
you. You're not asked questions. This is a court proceeding. This isn't an argument.
I got formulated as a question. I appreciate that. So. It's hard. It's a little passionate here. Are you aware of any of those documents being submitted to the courts?
No one's asked to have the documents. Everyone had received copies of them, so the answer is no.
Everybody, the court included?
I've answered that question.
So you found new documents that are different trust documents than Mr. Lesney found, that you're aware of, and you didn't think it was necessary to submit them to the court in the case?
That's not accurate at all. They're not new documents. You have copies, as Mr. Lesney. Copies are just as good as originals, and I maintain the originals in case anyone had a question. And so far, since May, whatever the date of that email is, no one's ever had a question, nor should they.
Are you aware that Ted Bernstein's former counsel, Robert Spallina, committed fraud that was admitted to in the December 15th hearing?
Objection, relevance.
Sustained. Last question.
Are you aware that the witness you brought to the hearing admitted that he had closed my mother's estate with my father, who was deceased?
Objection, relevance.
Sustained. You got to stick with what I've got to decide on the matter before me today.
Okay.
Next
question. Well, this is very important, Your Honor, because
I'm not
going
to argue with you about it.
Okay.
It's not relevant.
Suggestions,
you might want to steer your questions towards what I have to decide today. You can do whatever you like.
Okay.
I'm wishing that you would put on evidence.
Okay. Have you put on similar motions seeking to take blogs off, get guardians, gag orders with Judge Cole?
I believe we filed a motion specifically addressed to whether you were in contempt for posting information about the sale of the house before it had closed, and the judge denied our motion because you had not contacted the buyer. I don't know if there's been a motion yet heard to remove the stuff and the information off the internet. But this motion does ask for that relief and should be granted.
And in that hearing for the home, was it determined by Judge Cullen that the delay was due to the trustee attempting to sell the house without notifying any of the beneficiaries or the PR of the estate?
No. What happened was the judge...
You didn't ask what happened. Okay. Just wanted to know the answer.
No. That's 100% not true.
Okay. Judge Cullen extended the time of the sale, correct? He said that couldn't sell it.
Judge Cullen refused to approve the sale on an expedited basis over your objection and complaint about the value of the property.
So I said, no. Excuse me, I can't argue with him. I succeeded then in my argument. You said he agreed with me. He delayed the sale because I put forth an argument.
You succeeded in getting 5 extra weeks to get an appraiser or a realtor to testify, and you did not succeed in bringing on any evidence, and he granted the motion 5 weeks later, and then you appealed that, which cost the trust $238,000.
Did Judge Cullen tell you that you argued that it was going to cost more in country club and all these fees and costs, and he denied you that and stated that you would bear the cost and the realtor for the delay because you hadn't notified anybody of the secretive transaction?
That's not true, and for the record, it was not a secretive transaction. It was a contract that was entered into, and everyone was notified within 2 or 3 business days after you threatened to file this pendant. But if you look at the trust agreement, it didn't require a court approval to sell property.
Okay. Did you sell the property? The
property's been closed.
To who?
To a buyer whose name is the subject of a motion, but you discovered the name of the buyer. The buyer is an entity. Okay.
Your Honor.
Those are getting car fees.
Okay, go on.
Let's stop that.
Okay.
I don't care who the buyer of the house was. It's got nothing to do with what I'm working on. Do you have anything that is relevant?
Well, I submitted to the federal court and I'd like to submit this as evidence.
It's
the federal court.
What is it?
It's the federal court file in the Baltimore
court. Federal court file in the
Motion for injunction.
I don't need that.
I'd like to see the evidence.
Well, it's not open evidence to the issues. I have to decide today. I'm rejecting it.
Well, okay, because part of the importance of this is that it exposes all new fraud with this home sale.
You're making a mistake again of arguing with me.
Oh, okay.
Your Honor, I believe he's referring to what's already been introduced.
No, it's not one.
Okay, can I ask him to look at the documents?
The sale closed. I've
told you that it's not relevant. That means I won't look at it because it's not relevant. Do you have any questions on these 2 motions that are before me today regarding guardian ad litem? And,
Yes, I do. I also, instead of a guardian, which seems kind of harsh because they're going to have to get a lawyer, and all my children really need is a lawyer. We've been trying to get a lawyer in. Well, I've retained her, in fact, but she can't get documents from Mr. Rose. So, Mr. Rose, can I submit this in federal?
You have 6 minutes remaining.
Okay.
Do you have any other questions of the witness?
Well, I'm going to call Mr. Lesney, too, and I'd like to call Ted Bernstein.
I don't have a preference.
Can we extend the hearing? Because I need to call all these people.
The hearing will be over in 6 minutes.
We can extend it based on the fact that I'm being rushed through this. They called this. They should have known we would have had a lot of issues here.
Do you have any questions of the witness?
So does denying my due process left and right? Yeah, I do have questions. So, Mr. Rose, are you aware of a letter from Candace Schwager? Can I submit this as evidence? Your Honor?
You're asking me if you can submit some papers you're holding in your hand?
That I want to give to him.
Have those papers been identified? Is there any testimony that connects them to the issues I've got to decide?
It's been filed in the court.
What's been filed?
It's a letter from an attorney who's also head of the Guardian Association, by the way.
Have you shown that document to the witness?
Did you give him a copy?
Okay.
Okay. Yeah, he's got the letter, so come on. And I've submitted it to the court, so they're in possession. Is that a letter there for another way? I have my copy there.
this looks like...
Do you have this letter?
I've seen this before, this was sent to me right before the trial in December.
Is there any objection to this being received as an exhibit?
No, sir.
All right, that'll be in evidence as EB1.
So, take note that my children, who are the parties that are...
Well, you need to have the letter if I'm going to receive it as an exhibit.
Oh, you want this?
It's an exhibit, I've got to mark it and look at it. So, yeah, thank you.
What?
Okay, you have a free copy?
Oh, there's one more piece to that, Your Honor. Okay, Mr. Rose. My children are trying to get counsel, is that correct?
I don't have any idea, the letter speaks for itself. I think we're not here asking...
Okay, Mr. Rose, did you author a letter, this letter right here, this email, you can take a look at it, and tell a lawyer who was trying to come in to protect my kids that unless she was admitted to the court by order, you would not communicate with her or turn over any of the records she was requesting of you so that she could come into the case properly and make a pleading before the court? So in your words, can you read in the first line of that email?
I received an email from a woman who we've known to be a disruptive crusader. And
do you have evidence of what you're saying?
I've seen papers and filed in court by Oppenheimer, but that's not the
okay,
point.
Okay, but you're not answering my question.
I responded unless and until you're admitted by court of court, please do not communicate me about this matter. She's not counsel of record. She's not admitted in Florida. I was preparing.
She's a lawyer, Your Honor, that I'm trying to... Oh, sorry, Your Honor, I don't want to plead it to you. So you're aware that I have a lawyer waiting to come into the case, but you're refusing to communicate and give her documents necessary to evaluate the case. Oh, is that correct?
I don't know if she's a lawyer for you.
She's a lawyer for me and my children. I have a retainer. I told you all that.
If you ask a question, then you have to let the witness answer.
Okay, sorry.
I mean, you can hire any lawyer you want. Our position is that for your children, there needs to be a guardian ad litem appointed by the court to protect their interest from you and the crusade that you are on, and that Ms. Schwager would probably join you on if she does ever appear, which I cannot stop her, but she has not done so.
Because she can't?
You've got 1 minute.
Okay, so you're aware that Ms. Schwager can't get documents from your office, from the trustee, as my children's counsel, as my counsel.
I don't know that that's true, but whatever documents exist, I'm sure you already have them.
No, she asked you for documents and you've refused to communicate with her, correct? The trustee is refusing to talk to counsel and give them the things they need to come into this case so that you can try to sneak around and get a guardian on my children for the 15th time of this nonsense, so that you can control things so that real records and documents won't come out. I'm sorry, I'll do that on my closing.
No, there is no closing. You're using your time by ranting.
Okay, so can I call Mr. Lessing?
I'd let you go a minute over.
Can I call Mr. Lessing?
For one last question, you way past your time and let you go. If you're trying to be courteous, but that's not...
Well, I'd like to extend the hearings. I mean, I'm not getting to bring in...
Your request for...
They're requesting hearings way too short of time. You won't let me file in response. You blocked me from filing. This is like crazy.
Thank you, sir. Please.
There's fraud on the court. Are you going to deal with the fraud on the court if you notify the proper authorities? Okay, I'm done.
Please be seated.
Yep.
Do either of you have proposed orders you might want to consider?
Yes, Your Honor.
I'll take a look at it.
I think I can.
I'd like some time to review those. I just got them here today. Again, this is more, you know, the not giving orders to people before.
Well, these are proposed orders. They're not active.
Okay, well, just don't rule on. They didn't even ask me for my comments, Your Honor, which is against the rules.
Your Honor,
more sharp practices.
Your Honor, I'm going to provide a copy of my order to Mr. Bernstein, and you can give him as much time as you feel to file written comments to the order.
All right.
This is the proposed order and approved by all of the counsel.
Your Honor, I'd like to you to take judicial notice and let me submit the consent order of Mr. Robert Spallino, which does.
I would like to present a proposed order. Please do that on Monday. I'll hold off on entering any order of release until Monday.
Okay.
You're not required to present a proposed order. That's not a requirement. But if you'd like to, I'm certainly going to give you that courtesy. Thank you.
Oh, and I'd like to just say one more time.
No, you don't.
Don't? Okay.
Thank you.
That's hysterical. It's like a joke.